that to us. And before we begin, thank you.
Okay, morning church. Okay, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. This is what it says. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Wow, I can barely keep up with one language, the English language. Anyways, Pastor, title of this morning's passage, "Babel, Not in Your Arrogance. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does." Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie. And good morning! Good morning! It is indeed a good morning, because all that the Lord pleases to do in our lives, He does. Pride. Arrogance. The word of God presents these as the worst of all sins. All other sins in the Bible flow out of a heart of pride. When we will not submit to God, will not accept His ways for our life, it is because out of a heart of pride, we do not want to do things His way. God has set a certain order to our life, and often things do not go the way that we want it to. But everything in our life always goes the way He wants it to. There are no mistakes in the plans of God. He does whatever He pleases in our life. When we set ourselves out to do things our own way and do not understand that our plans will not dictate the course of our lives, we sin against God by not humbling ourselves before His power to dictate everything that happens every hour of our lives. After the judgment of God in the great flood, the people of earth quickly returned to their old ways. Instead of worshiping and cherishing the God of Noah, his descendants planned to create a society where they could do whatever they wanted without any dependence on God. The people of Babel intended to make a name for themselves instead of exalting the name of God. But the entire exercise was foolishness, because God cannot be mocked. No matter how powerful and great we think that we are, God can frustrate our plans without any effort. We can never stand against the plans of God, and when we will not acknowledge his ultimate control over our every circumstance and be content with his control over our every circumstance, we become fools by every meaning of the word. The only path to true wisdom is to submit in every circumstance to the wisdom of God as he rules over our entire life. Let us pray and get to the text. Father, we have only arrived here at this point in our life because you have planned every moment of our life before this moment, Father. Everything that happened to us, if we are thinking clearly about it, has not happened the way that we would have planned it or the way that we tried to plan it, Father, but the way that you set forth for us to live. Father, our lives are not in our own hands. We do not control them, Father, and every moment after this moment is not going to go the way we plan it exactly, Father. We might plan certain things, but you are the one that dictates how they will happen, Father. We cannot have ultimate control over our own lives, Father, because you are the one that controls every detail of everything in us and around us, Father. You move our hearts and our thoughts and our feelings and our choices in the direction you would have us go, Father, and you do so with everyone around us, and you do so with all the circumstances surrounding us, Father. You are sovereign and in control of everything, and everything goes the way that pleases you, Father. The only hope we have to have any influence over our life is to submit to you and desire to obey you and do things the way that you tell us we should, Father. Even then, you often frustrate our plans, Father, and move us in a way we did not think we would go, Father. Even as we sit here in this room, we do not know how the rest of this day will turn out, Father. We do not know what conversations we will have, what places we will go. We don't know if we'll arrive home safely after the service. We don't know what emergencies or things might happen for the rest of this day. We don't know if our cars will break down or if our houses will burn down in a fire. We don't know if our relatives will die. We don't know anything about our lives ultimately, Father, but you know everything, Father. You have every detail mapped out and planned out. And the glorious reality about this truth is that we can trust you, Father. You know what you're doing, Father. You have the good of the Christian believer. You have their good in mind, Father. And for those who don't know you, Father, if they will repent of their sin and trust in you, then you also have good plan for their life, Father. I pray, Father, that we would see in this text that the pride of wanting to have control over our own lives is terrible sin. And we must repent of that if there's any of that thinking in us, Father. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 11, verses 1 and 2. Now the whole earth in those days had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. After Noah had died and his family had spread out across the earth, and there were many people again after they had recovered from the judgment of God in the great flood, the whole earth all spoke one language and could easily communicate with one another. There were no divisions of people groups or different languages that humanity spoke. Everyone on the earth migrated to a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there as one nation. All the people desired to work together so that they might have a great legacy. Genesis 11, verses 3 and 4. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." So the people of earth gathered together and told one another that they should make bricks made of stone and use mortar to hold them together. Then they planned to build themselves a big city with a great tower that stretched into the sky, so that they would have a great name for themselves. They determined that they would never be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Nothing would be able to scatter the people and divide them across the planet because of their great power and their great name. But there was no acknowledgement of God and his power to stop anything they might do. "Come," they said, "we will make a name for ourselves that is greater than any other, and nothing will stop us." But it says in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." But James, the half-brother of Jesus, responds to their, "Come, let us do this," and says, "Come now. You say that you will do something today and that it will happen in a certain way, and this is how it will turn out. But the reality is that you are speaking in pride. You do not truly know what will happen tomorrow. You cannot predict even what will happen today. No one has the name for themselves or the power to control what will happen other than God. What is your life compared to what God wills? You are nothing but a mist in the air that appears for a few seconds and then is gone. Ultimately, We have no control over our lives other than what control God allows us to have. When we claim to have control over our own lives in a way that does not acknowledge God's freedom to change our plans, we speak and act in pride. There is nothing that we can do to alter the will of God, and we cannot know for sure what the plans of God for our lives are from day to day, moment to moment. We are as nothing before the decisions of God for our lives. James continues in verses 15 and 16. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. You should be speaking in a way that acknowledges that you do not have control over your life. God is the one who will decide how your life turns out. Only if he wills for something to happen will you be able to do what you want. When you claim to have power to control what happens in your life, you are boasting in your arrogance. You are demonstrating your pride. You are claiming something that belongs to God. And this boasting is not just wrong, it is evil, James says. It is totally sinful and evil to claim that we know what will happen better than God does, or claim that we have control over our lives in some way that does not submit to God's plan. He can and he will often change what we think should happen. Every day we might have an idea of what we want to do, and it always turns out differently because God is the one who orders our steps and not us. The scripture tells us that he can turn the hearts of kings the way that he wants them to go. So even the decisions we make in our hearts are in his control. We cannot change God's mind, but he can change ours and the minds of all those around us. Every circumstance in our life is under the power of his providential control, so that everything happens exactly the way God decides. Not only is it prideful and arrogant to not acknowledge his power to order your life, but to be dissatisfied with his plans for your life and to complain that you could do things better in some way is sheer arrogance. God is wiser than you, more resourceful, more intelligent, more loving, more powerful. He is exceptional in every way, and you are not. Everything he gives you is exactly what you need, and to question that is vain and egotistical. But often we question him and his plans every single day. Proverbs speaks of how God views our prideful hearts. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. The prideful heart before God is an abomination to him because they will not humble themselves before him. He promises that he will punish the prideful person. Those who think they know better than God will ultimately face punishment in hell. The people of the earth who sought to build the Tower of Babel would not avoid the judgment of God. They could not prevent God from doing as he wished with them, no matter what they thought they could do. Proverbs continues in chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Those who think much of themselves are setting themselves up for destruction. The haughty spirit will be brought to ruin by God. It is better to have nothing and to be poor than to have riches if you are arrogant and proud. When you do not accept the plans that God has for your life and you question his wisdom, question his love and kindness, you are going to face his wrath. Proverbs 26:12 echoes this truth. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The person who thinks they are wiser than God has more hope than a fool. The fool cannot hope for much in his life, but the person who thinks they know better than God is even more foolish than the fool. It is not wise to think we are wise in the eyes of God. When we question his ways or think we will escape his plans for our life, there is no hope for us in this life or the next life. Genesis 11, 5 through 7, we see how God responded to the people of Babel. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." Notice the irony now in how he responds. He says, "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech." The Lord already knew what they were plotting to do because he knows all things. But the Lord came down to gaze on the city and the tower that they had built. He assessed their plotting. In verse 6, God nods his head at their accomplishments. They had one language, and they had just begun to do many things. And if nothing changed, then they would be able to do whatever they wanted. But the last time man had thought that they could do whatever they wanted, God had destroyed the earth and every living thing on it. When man thinks they can do whatever they want, God laughs at their foolishness. Only a prideful fool thinks they can stop the plans of God. So the people had said, "Come, we will do these things, and God will not stop us." And God said to himself in verse 7, "Come, let's go throw their plans into chaos. It will be easy for me, God says. And so God confused their languages into many different languages so that they could not understand one another and they would not be able to do anything that they wanted to do. Psalm 2, 1 through 4 says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.' But he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Why do people try and plot against God? Why do they think they can do anything that God does not allow or does not approve of? The most powerful people on earth try to set themselves against God, take counsel together against God and his anointed one, Jesus Christ. They think they can be free from God's powerful control over their lives, but they cannot be free from God even for 1 second of their existence. God controls everything and everyone. The only hope we have in our lives is to submit to him and his Son. The Word of God stands forever, and he demands that we obey it. He demands from us that we stop questioning his decisions. Stop trying to fight his plans for our life. Stop hating him for what he has allowed to happen or will allow to happen in our lives. When we refuse to acknowledge and submit to the plans of God for our life, he laughs at us derisively. God mocks the people who tried to build the Tower of Babel. He thought nothing of their planning to work against him in their pride. In Genesis 11:8, we see the result. So the Lord dispersed them from there and over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. The people had said that they would not be dispersed from there over the face of all the earth. So God did just that. He dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. They could not do what they had set out to do because God said that they would not. Psalm 135, 6 and 7. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. God does whatever he pleases to do. He does whatever he wants in heaven and on earth and in the seas. He makes the clouds rise and controls all the weather, all the lightning and rain and wind. Psalm 135 goes on in verses 8 through 12. He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast, who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants, who struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people Israel. When Egypt defied God, he struck down every firstborn child and beast. He sent all the signs and wonders against Pharaoh. God has struck down many different nations and taken the life of mighty kings when they have tried to stand against him. He gave the lands of many different kings and peoples into the hands of those he chose, his people Israel. Later on, Psalm 135 in verses 15 through 18 says, "The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouth, but do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. And those who make these idols become like them, and so do all who trust in them. There is no other God but Christ. All the other so-called gods are idols of silver and gold, the work of human hands. They cannot speak, they cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot breathe. And the peoples who defy God by making these false gods become like them. And so do all who trust in these false gods. No one can stand against God. No one can mock God and survive his wrath. The people of Babel might babble constantly about what they could do, that nothing would be impossible for them. But they would babble in their arrogance, as whatever the Lord pleased to do, he did. And it pleased him to confuse their language and disperse them over the face of the earth. Genesis 11:9. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. The very thing the people of the earth claimed they could prevent is what God did to them. The Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. But is there hope as God confuses the languages of the peoples? Is there any hope in this judgment of God? Is there any mercy in God's laughing at their terrible pride? Well, the result of their pride is many languages, many peoples, many tribes, many nations spread across the earth, unable to come together and achieve their plans. But what was God's plan in frustrating their plans? Revelation 7, the Apostle John, at the end of history, in verses 9 and 10, says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." The Apostle John looked and saw a great number of people gathered together, more than anyone could number. There were people from all the different nations, all the different tribes, all the different peoples, and all the different languages. And God had brought them all back together for his purpose, his plan. He was not laughing at them, but smiling at them. They came together, the people of the earth, to stand before a throne, the throne of God, and worship him. With a loud voice, they cry out what the plans of God are. They do not stand against God, but passionately want what he wants, the glory of his Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne. Salvation belongs to Jesus, the Lamb of God. When we stand in opposition to God, when we are unsatisfied with his plans, his ways, we stand in terrible sin. He laughs at our foolishness and our arrogance, and pride will not go unpunished. The punishment for our sin is eternal hell. But even as God scatters our lives, confuses and confounds our plans, he calls us to gather again so that we could worship his Son. Salvation belongs to Christ. We do not have to face that punishment for our pride if we will repent of our pride and let Jesus humble us. Jesus came and lived a perfect life. He always submitted to the Father's plans. In fact, he always took joy in his Father's plans. He never tried to go his own way or questioned the trials his Father brought upon him, but acknowledged that his Father was in control of his life. When we trust in the sinless life of Jesus Christ, his perfect submission to the will of the Father becomes our own. We stand righteous before God in his perfect plans for our life. Jesus went to the cross. That was the plan of God for him to suffer. He suffered for the sake of all those who would believe in him. We are called to follow him into suffering because that is the plan of God for all those who would receive the salvation that comes from the cross of Christ. If we will trust in those plans, then Jesus has taken the punishment of hell, the wrath of the Father, on the cross for us, and we do not have to face that hell ourselves. But God's plans for Jesus, his plans for anyone who will believe in him, do not stop there. The Father, as God, raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus, as the Son of God, raised himself from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit, who is also God. Together, they raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. And when we trust in, believe in, have faith in, are united with the power of the resurrection, we have new life, so that we might be able to humble ourselves before the plans of God and trust in him each day in obedience as he rules our lives, as he does all that he pleases in our lives every day. Revelation 7:11 through 12 concludes in praise to God. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Yes, amen. This is his plan from the very beginning of creation to the Tower of Babel to the new heavens and the new earth where we will worship him forever. Two applications. Arrogance and pride lead to destruction. When we plan our lives thinking we know better than God, we will find out that he purposefully frustrates our plans. Instead, we should trust his wisdom and submit to him in everything we do. Then, through faith in Christ, he will give us the humility to be content with his plans for our life each day. Second affirmation. Often in this life, we do not want to accept God's ways. But the wisdom of God always shines in his mercy and kindness. In God's judgment of the people of Babel, there was a purpose of saving those who trust in him. Always remember his faithfulness to those whom he has chosen to know his love in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, we don't know the plans that you have each day, Father, but we can trust your plan. We can trust you that you have good purposes for our lives if we will just submit to the plans that you have for them. Help us to acknowledge you in everything we do this week, to not complain and reject the plans that you have for us, have had in the past and will have in the future, Father, and help us to worship you every day as the one who plans and controls all things in the universe. Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us bow our head and pray for the offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today's reminder that we need to trust you. We need to thank you. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for teaching us life lessons of trusting in you and knowing that we can count on your promises. And so every day, Lord, we ask you to give us the opportunity to share a portion of what you've given us and do it generously. And so with that in mind, this week we look for the opportunity to share the good news, but also that to share a portion, be good stewards of what you've given us. We want to do all this in honoring you, so thank you, Lord, and bless this offering we're about to give. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's benediction comes from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, and it reads, "To the King of all the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." We'll have a minute of silent prayer, and when the music begins, join us for refreshments and fellowship in the back room, and then an interesting Sunday school class, we hope. So, thank you.